I'll prob-
Sorry, sorry, to me.
Okay, no worries. So there are a lot of tasks started by people. I know Quentin has been looking into the tail analysis strategy. He has been doing something for the sensitivity, but I think it needs to be updated. It needs to be rerun with all the other contexts. You know, as I said, gain suppression, also calorimeter reconstruction will fall in there. All the acceptance studies, the heterofficiencies, and so on. Right? And obviously, ATAR reconstruction is something where I personally feel that there might be a few not so nice surprises. Because right now, we believe ATAR will solve everything, and that's the one thing that makes us much better than all the previous experiments. And I think the previous experiments did a really good job, as we have seen. They've been thinking about a lot of things, and ATAR is the one thing that will push us in order for them to pass their result. Right, so we really need to know that we get ATAR right. So, now this is probably some of the more long-term plan. On the short term, BBR is coming up, beginning of February. When is it, 7th or 10th?
10th. 10th is the presentation.
10th is the presentation. Great. So by then, we probably want to have all these answers in. So one of the thing was the LISA prototype for student bean time, mentioned by, I think, Anna. And I think Omar has already been voluntold for this task. But the other question I was not just picking up in a month cover break, hey, what is the impact of the bean? And then I have other questions, now most of them just popping up as we were listening to the Pioneer Talks, that's why this slide is totally not refined. And okay.
That was the other door.
Oh, I see. So that's totally not yet refined. And maybe we have to extend this list. Okay? Yes, Dan, please.
Patrick, how do we evaluate the accuracy of these JOM simulations? I mean, some of them are backed up by some measurements done in 1950 on low energy processes and things like that, but how do we verify at the level that we need to know that these simulations are accurate? And what experiments could we possibly do to compare with the appropriate simulations?
That is a very good question. Right now, we don't. And this is actually a big issue right now in terms of predictions if we want to, you know, exploit tail corrections. What we have done is we've been listening to input from PyMU. By the way, we saw that our physics list did not quite match. And there was a lot of helpful input from Dick and Tristan about, hey, by the way, EM0 does not give you the right tail. And so, okay, let's check out EM4, let's check out, and that was work done by Omar. And we decide, okay, EM4 and PEN is kind of similar results. And EM4 is fast, a little better.
Let's try to break down Doug's good question, and not trying to answer it now, but trying to develop a process for that, which is to say we should try to identify piece by piece questions that we could check against simulation. So there's low energy pieces that we might be able to do with a dedicated setup, blah, blah, blah. There might be some pieces that involve the calorimeter tail or whatever, we know that one obviously already, but the pieces about something coming, you know, we might be able to do that if we find where are the vulnerability points or where are the hooks, where or if we could see if the simulation works here and then check it there and check it there. But
yeah,
a comprehensive answer will just get us nowhere. So I think the team needs to break that down with suggestions.
I always forget to say this. I always forget to say this because I don't do simulations anymore. But I know for a fact that EM4 is really having issues with low energy processes with ions, especially on light elements, like absorption on light elements of ions. This should not be maybe concerning us in the present scenario. I put a few flags already during my PhD, maybe.
Yeah, this is valuable input. Maybe it's also important which of the hadronic lists you use.
This is no really low energy, right?
It's really low energy.
I think also responding to this one's talk, I think the best radiation must come from stuff we can measure directly in our server. So external measurements can do something, but we should think really hard what we can verify internally. And we have, we will have a statistic with all that stuff, this kind of data and so on. We are at the day to day level of events. So it should be a very powerful system to validate a lot of this information. And if there's advice to, you can say there's a war between the Cairo and the you can look how much do you see when you look just for the color, how much you look at the track. So all the stuff, the consistency things internally, to me that is the most important question.
Alex?
So regarding the difference between those two lists, I think one of my takeaways was that the electromagnetic processes seem to be modeled very well in the YEM experiment. It was mainly the hadronic processes that seemed to have problems. And maybe Tristan and Dick can respond to that as, you know, there are problems. And then regarding the difference between those two, I checked it at the level of 10 to the 6th events between the Penelope list and the EM4, and I couldn't see any difference of the statistical differences. Maybe this needs to be validated for a huge sample to see if there's a real difference. But the prefactor, the QGSP, this quark gluon strain, I think something. So this is really the high energy part. It's the EM4 and Penelope that govern all the physics at the energy scales we care about, up to maybe hadronic processes. And then in terms of validations of these lists, as Peter mentioned, I think it's important to validate things in the setups we can use. There's extensive documentation of different validations. Bruce brought this up before about, you know, how do we validate albedo. It's something we've tried in the test scheme. It was extremely difficult to do. But there are papers, I have one right here, that where people discuss all the different backscattering experiments that have been done and how it's been validated at those energy scales and, you know, some of the limitations of the lists. But I think it needs to be done for the elements that we're using and the general setup that we want to do. So those are just some thoughts on that.
But please consider what the electromagnetic discrepancy what we show.
Yeah, let's hear from Tristan next.
Yeah, so I think what I always said is right for the tail fraction. As far as we can tell, the electromagnetic physics is not a problem there. The disagreement we saw was driven by the hadronic processes. For annihilation bio scattering, we don't have a lot of handles, and the handle that we do have doesn't quite agree, but we don't know where the underlying issue is. I think that one specific thing that could be done to validate the Monte Carlo could be done with the demonstrator setup. That's actually a very pioneer-like geometry, right, where you have the target and then a calorimeter with reasonably low acceptance just cover in one piece of solid angle. So you, the bubble scattering effects that we saw in Pioneer should be there as well. But with the HR there, you should be much more able to reconstruct essentially the you know, entangle those events because we have very little power to do that. So, and annihilation, same, right? You should be able to actually study that in detail with that setup and validate the JM4 is getting those cross sections right.
Can I just respond to that? Do you believe in the problem or the difficulties that Pioneer is facing? Do you think that those are at the electromagnetic LISP level, or do you feel that that is something to do with an imperfect representation of your detector response?
I think it's that.
Is that, I would assume that something like that should be modeled very well.
By I think it's that, personally.
So I don't like that.
Okay, that was part of my comment as well, right? Yeah. There are things in Pioneer, right, that we didn't realize we have an effect at such level, right? Like micrometer piece of aluminium or 100 micrometer piece of aluminium in front of the calorimeter, in front of Pina, will affect, right, at our level, at Pioneer level, right? So we need to understand like and model our detector so well in order to reach. So maybe two things. One for the tail, right? It's pretty clear that we will be dominated by photonuclear events, and so here, I think.
So they'll be very important.
We always have to keep in mind, obviously, that we are not doing Pioneer again, we're doing Pioneer. So, like, everything we know from Pioneer, we have to think that we have to do like 15 times better. And so, potentially, like all the low energy things that were still okay for Pioneer, for the tail, might become somewhat more problematic for Pioneer. But okay, the first thing would probably be to the photonuclear, which here we have. For the liquidine, so the liquidine on prototype is meant to be able to see this, right? So we will see this and be able to benchmark the simulation with this data. Then there is the acceptance, where the acceptance correction, which would be an important part for Pioneer, where here the fact that we didn't have a good detector, or at least we don't understand it here, the Blaba scattering annihilation and all these things, they're just not matching what the JM4 is giving us, right? And so here we have a problem at the Pioneer level, and it's going to be a much bigger problem at the Pioneer level.
So, quick question. Now, on the scale of where we are now in simulation, what do you think is the most appropriate time to tackle this? You mentioned the prototype, which means this will push this out towards 2026, getting the data, so 2027 problem, right?
Yeah, 2026, getting the data, that's for sure true.
Just that I think it's clear from the conversation at this meeting that figuring out a solid strategy for the acceptance is now the top priority of the analysis / simulation effort. Whether it's a complete thing or whether it's still some assumption of detector performance from MC, we have to do with whatever we can achieve. But it's just clearly the
I totally agree, and I think that the acceptance is also going to be really informed by tracklet RICO. I think that is also something that might need to get some more attention.
So you might hit the tracklet reconstruction, absolutely. So I think that I agree with you. That's something we should put some emphasis on. Right now we have no person on this.
Right now it's nothing.
Right now it's nothing.
I've done it. It's here from my own person.
I would also say that we probably need to spend some time thinking about updating the mechanics for the ATAR, because right now, I don't think we have the cables, right? But as far as I know, we have nothing that's floating. So we have at least a model now from Simone. I mean, I put the rods in, obviously that's not outdated, but I don't think we can even tackle the acceptance if we don't know everything that's in the way of the particles going into the calo.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interaction process.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. Any support structure that's really going to be there needs to be in simulation as soon as possible and in as accurate a form as possible. This idea that I don't know, I haven't followed it enough to know if this is in any way possible or realistic, but would it be possible on a faster time scale in either of these calorimeter demonstrators to just get some kind of ATAR prototype and put that in a very low energy muon beam somewhere or something like that? Because you could do a lot of interesting stuff only with ATAR, where if you stop a particle and it decays to a positron, you could, if the ATAR performs how we think it should, you could look for Babb scattering events just with ATAR, and you could look for annihilation events just with ATAR.
Yes, we're walking as fast as we can.
So I think
I don't know, is all I heard about was calorimeter demonstrators and not that.
So I think
you
need like 10 layers or so, you need to stop at surface and you can just sort of a single layer. I think people are working on it, and this is part of the NSF proposal you've heard about.
Okay. So you need to complex amazing. I mean, I think probably you have that somewhere, but once you evaluate this based on the discharge transform where the priority is, it would be nice to see a list which matches the priorities with the people working on various tasks. Just to see whether that is somewhat things of a balance. I have my doubts whether the acceptance question, whether Sean was wording on that, but whether we have a good balance there.
I mean, we have people working on the acceptance. There is GC, Sean, and Omar at the moment. I think it's just
eight
exactly. You mean the construction?
Yeah. I think it's scoped down.
Yeah, when you think ATAR acceptance, you mean like deciding based on ATAR, or do you mean a reconstruction efficiency?
Basically, in the master formula, it's the epsilon.
Absolutely.
I mean, there will be a lot of programs, I think.
Yeah. And this is also, I mean, it's exactly the point that GC made as well.
Yeah, and we have so little work for us on that. And he said, last meeting, he said exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's just Sean specific G minus 2 as well.
No, very technical question. So, but for the integration of the liquidino reconstruction, how much is it to do that, right? Because once we have this, right, parameter tuning is independent on the integration, right? We have to have the thing working so that we can quickly compare.
Maybe we can hear what I for my calculus.
Yes, I think that's a very good point, because it's all about seeing what the reconstruction algorithm already does. And how you
about the integration. Now, it is not integrated, but some parameters are hard coded, but I have to prepare some parameter. I have to prepare some configuration file to set the parameters, but after that, I think we can integrate the construction, and after that, it is easy to tune the parameters.
You guys raise your hands exactly the same.
I'll hold the mic here and you can speak. I was just gonna, if you're concluding, I was gonna say something.
No, I mean, is it concluding?
Are you closing in on running out of things to talk about or not?
Yeah.
Well,
you are.
You are.
The reason is I think what we could do organizationally here is we were talking, let me just take a spokesman thought here. We were talking about a collaboration meeting as a satellite day or day and a half next to the Fundamental Symmetries meeting in September at PSI, being invited there. It could also coincidentally be close to the Beam Time, which the student Beam Time and other people who want, you don't have to be on the LISO team, as Ben knows, to learn and what it means to work in that beam area and to contribute effectively to data taking, which is, you know, that is very valuable. It doesn't matter what calorimeter to learn how those beams work to students and so on. You have to do it yourself. So we all need to work together on beam things. So that gives us a meeting. This is now January, I think it's 2025. I've learned that this week. And that pushes us to September. So there's this gap in between. And I'm coming to my point, which is I think the more valuable thing, given what I'm hearing people are working on, would be that about halfway between then and now, we have a simulation workshop of, you know, many days or so organized. I would volunteer that we could host it, given how much stuff you guys have, the clusters there and everything else, and how many people there. We could help out if travel was needed, but especially for the young people to be able to come and really bang out. You guys can really do effective work when you're sitting there on a table like that. And between now and then, I think the simulation physics team ought to set some benchmark questions out to people to be responded to by them of that order. You know, and the rest of us can zoom in on this meeting. There'll be at least a one-day plenary meeting or so that, you know, if we're not there, we can, you know, we can have a one-day presentation meeting if you guys have a four-day working meeting. I'm just going to throw that out there to see if that would be valuable, because in my opinion, all we've heard all week, we know what hardware things have to be done. We know to buy some sensors and grab some crystals and, you know, do some purity tests and so on and so forth. These are things that are going to go, they're going to go on, and we'll report them to each other on general meetings and such and such.
This
but,
be
but
essentially
this is the kind of thing where to move this experiment forward, keep moving forward, we have to get more and more into that thing. So I would charge you to each of you who are working on pieces of simulation, a lot of you now actually, come up with what could I get done in 3 months or 4 months time, and I work on it as a deliverable.
Yes, no, that's a really good point. And something, from past experience, we totally saw that these sessions usually are satellite to a collaboration or as just another, oh, let's start it off as let's help Adam out, but have had some more people at UW. Those always boosted the progress on the simulation.
Yeah. And the thing, you know, people's travel budgets are tight to have everybody gather around that event besides the ones that are doing that kind of work. But,
yeah. And yeah,
Peter, thanks.
I'm also following up on organization things. I just had a small request. So with the simulation meetings, I'm a little bit overwhelmed. I mean, there's a HR meeting and a similar thing. Maybe you could organize it at fixed intervals. You have a conceptual simulation meeting and then a technical simulation meeting. I would, you know, we could discuss for a long time about any item in here, but so I think, but it doesn't, it's not efficient in this big room. But if you announce a conceptual meeting, I would, I mean, several of us, including me, probably would go so some what we think about and so on, and challenge the simulators, and then you have the more technical ones which really can't contribute much.
Okay. Sorry, yeah.
testing something. Now that we heard, we should think about what we want to get done within the next 3 months. I think another question is not only what, but also who. And as I said, we don't have anybody working on hit subtractive reconstruction. So if you have some PhD student, some grad student that you want to get on the simulation, this is an excellent opportunity to start a simulation. Maybe you don't have to do the hit subtractive. There are a lot of tasks on there. There are many more that I have not yet written down. But please, if you have some grad student, postdoc, push them in the right direction.
So, because, I mean, it definitely is, you know, a case where for the SPA meeting we are struggling to find people to do their work. And the 8-hour simulation meeting is very much just a informal catch up. Occasionally some slides, yeah. And I don't know about the color simulation one. But I didn't.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Let me go for an office.
Yeah. I think that we have a lot of young people around the room, part of the early career group who work on hardware, who do a lot of great work on these different aspects. And I think that we all should take some initiative to look at what needs to be done for this experiment so that we can push the physics forward. And so, you know, maybe if we're just working on some technical aspect, we can devote some fraction of our time to solving these simulation problems, solving the physics problems that are gonna come up along the way, so that we can have a better, or larger amount of manpower to actually solve all these issues that are driving, you know, our experiment, or you know, preventing us from moving our experiment forward. So I think that, you know, we should all, if we're not working on something right now and have some fraction of our time to commit to it, pick out some of these things so that we can move everything forward and we don't run into these problems where there are, you know, only 3 people available to solve what looks like 20 tasks. We're not going to get it done unless all of us pick something out.
Thanks, Omar. I totally agree with you.
Peter, you want to add something?
I noticed that our Halo comp kind of died away during this meeting somehow, not in the geometry and so on. So I think we should take it seriously and at least show that it's beneficial or not beneficial. So I would take them up as an additional simulation task.
Monitor? Yeah. Sorry, Peter, can you repeat that? I didn't get what you said.
Halo.
The Halo
camera.
The Halo.
Yeah. It could affect the construction and everything. Right? Yeah.
So the thing is, I know if I code up something there, but I just did not get the time to look into that thing. I mean, it would be a really nice thing for somebody to look into it. It's an
exactly yeah.
Not the most. It's probably not the easiest of all tasks, but it's not an overwhelming task. It can be done by anybody that's skilled with some coding, right?
Okay. I think any further point to be raised? We have a. Which set of consensual conclusions, I think.
Yeah.
So I give it back to Chloe for the concluding remarks.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, maybe Dave wants to give some concluding remarks. I have a small list. I took notes because half my brain is fighting a virus, so I was a bit afraid I will forget some points. So yeah, I basically would like to finish with maybe if you can put up the slide.
Can you just kick me out of the chair?
Yeah, I mean, just yeah. No, no. Well, yeah. Okay, don't worry. But still put it up like this. We have a picture of us. So I would like to celebrate the work that was highlighted during this meeting and the work by all, right? I think it's an amazing amount of work which was done by everybody on all aspects. So I think that's something we should recognize. It was our third collaboration meeting. It feels like a long time, but it's really like the third collaboration meeting, and it was a long one. So it was really a lot of things we presented and updated each other on. And I think we are really a super active collaboration. We were successful in, many of us were very successful in securing base funding dedicated to Pioneer. We have two large grants in the pipeline. So that's great. And on the Calo side, I don't think we are shooting ourselves in the foot by investigating two options. And these two options are really here to find out what is the best calorimeter that we can provide beyond doubt, I mean, beyond reasonable doubt for the experiment. So I think we should be actually celebrating the fact that we have two options, two good options that we can look at. And I think, I mean, if there is a lesson learned from previous experiment, and that's going to be a tricky experiment, right? And yeah, I agree when Dave says that, okay, ATAR is a key piece, and that's for sure a big part. But I think everything is a very important part, and we have to pin you know, every single aspect of the experiment down to be able to reach the level we want to reach. And at every meeting, I think we pointing out I don't think there is a single meeting where we didn't point out to new aspects we didn't consider before, and so we are making progress along the way, and I think we should really celebrate this. And again, we are tackling things from different angle. We should not polarize ourselves. We should maybe try to even mix more, right? I mean, we would welcome like UDA people coming to liquid xenon, we going to LISO beam time. I think that would be for the collaboration as a whole a very good thing. I would want to say a few words on EDI. Speaking for myself, I think I sometimes got the feeling that we are imposing this to the collaboration. But after the EDI session we had, where I saw the they really people enjoyed it, I think, and got and we got lessons from this, and I mean, we will discuss this within the EDI committee, but I think one thing we already mentioned at the IB meeting is that we will remove the code of conduct from the EDI section of the website, put it as a key thing of our collaboration. But I think what was brought up by Jess also, like this idea of discussing in small group in collaboration meeting and then reporting to each other, we'll avoid that, you know, one of us have the mic and then a few hands and a few comments are distributed, but the whole overall picture is not necessarily grasped by the whole collaboration. And coming back to the discussion we had this morning, I think maybe we can feel that we're spending some time on things we feel which doesn't feel relevant for the physics, but I think it's relevant for the collaboration as a whole. And if we get that right, then we'll be stronger, I think. I mean, that sounds a bit dramatic, but I believe in this. And again, I think we should go to PSI with this image, right? We're a strong, happy, cohesive group, and we are just tackling things from different aspects, and we'll just get the best solution, and that's what the committee should get out. Then thanks, of course, to all of you for traveling. We know that traveling here, especially for some of you traveling from far away, it's not easy. So thanks for doing this. These in-person meetings are very valuable.
So it's great that you could make it. Thanks for those joining online. I don't know if we still have people online. Yes, yes. So thanks for joining online. Sorry for the people who could not come because of sickness, and I think that's a lesson learned. Maybe not right after the holiday. So either you can't come because you're sick, or you get sick during the collaboration. But yeah, and those who could not come because of travel, we tried. Doug and I put together funding specifically to be able to support early career coming from abroad. So glad that you pay your trip to be able to come. This unfortunately didn't make it through. So that was, yeah. But we will try again. And I think in choosing where we host the collaboration meeting, we should pay attention to this because, of course, this is a small part of the overall, in terms of budgets, of the overall Pioneer budget, but it is at the stage of the collaboration in some groups a big chunk of money, so so we should pay attention to this. And I think last but not least, I would like that all of you give a big thanks to Ben, Bob, Emma, Victor, Anna, for doing a lot of the things in the background this week, right? They brought the lunches, they brought the coffee, cake, organizing of the social event, and without them, I think this would not have been possible. So, I think it was prepared. Dave, do you want to give
the last
words?
Final thing, but obviously very well said already by you. So. I mean, obviously we did thank Chloe and that, and I want to thank Chloe for having us here. So. Just reiterating the fact that this is what, 4 days, I see everybody absolutely alert. I've been to lots of meetings where people are totally locked in on the engaged in this. I'm absolutely recharged by listening to what I've been listening to all week to see the kind of things that people have been doing and working in. And that's a kind of I think some of you feel the same spirit of that. This has really re-engaged you in that this is a priority in your scientific life right now. I wanted to say one metaphor about precision physics that I think would be true, and Doug, I'm sure your whole career doing this really hard experiments, you would probably back me up pretty well on this, but we've been doing it also for quite a while, not my whole time. But if you think about a chain, a linked chain, we always think about the G minus two, and that linked chain is sort of holding from one end to the other. Every one of us is a link somewhere in that chain, and this experiment doesn't work unless everybody's link is strong. It doesn't matter what little thing you're doing. Somebody just said it a moment ago. Every piece of it, I think you made that very clear, sister. Every little piece, whether, even if it's not the highlight, talking about ATAR, blah, blah, blah. I mean, every piece matters to be done with the highest possible quality and understanding. And everybody is valuable. We are all trying to measure one number. We are all working together to measure one number. So we all have to make those pieces work that we took on as we do this. And we are lucky to have multiple technologies to be considering right now in the three areas. Obviously, it could be four by next meeting, I don't know. But I think we should, again, thank you guys for bringing us together. This odd time of the year, maybe, but it's okay for a lot of us. And those people who travel for many time zones away from this little slice of the Pacific that a lot of our groups are on, especially you guys who are in different time zones. Ben, who sat through this whole week, I mean, making things work, and all you guys in the back, us hosting us was amazing. I really don't know if we can live up to that, but anyway, we'll do our best. So everybody get thanks to the Triumph team.
So people are happy to stay around, of course. Like
like a.
If you sign up for lunch, then we have sushi coming. Sushi and some dumplings and yeah. So if you put your name on the back, we have enough food for it. Everybody put their name on that sheet.
Okay,
so.
Ben, you told us there would be another apricot chicken salad. Damn.
And now it's sushi and
the best for those who stay until the
end. Well done, Ben. Well, he brings up the garbage.